Blog Talk Radio.
I just got to go over there earlier. That's why I don't get on. I just swear to go on about 9 o'clock, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I
back. There's a lot of people on the radio. You call it a devour or something. Station called there, nobody else got their download. I mean, they ain't gonna know you went somewhere else. They ain't gonna know to go there. But what the other place you call?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. Tasha Pomp Leonard, I hear the chain falling. We thank God for deliverance, for blessing, and for healing. Can you hear the chain falling off of your life today? We realize that we're in a situation today, like we said, this is the new normal right now, and things are different, but we know that God is still in charge. We're not worried because we still got control of the program. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these your people that are getting online, Father God, and listening to your word this day. We thank you for the man of God, Bishop Eugene Cooper, that's about to break the bread of life, talking about prayer. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that you stretch forth your hand all on the airwaves, on the radio waves, Father God, to move out every difficulty, Lord Father, that nobody will have a problem getting online this morning, and they'll be able to hear from the man of God. They'll be able to be encouraged to rebuild their lives with the bricks that he's going to dish out in this morning from your word, Father, according to Jeremiah 1 and 12, Lord Father, that you said you're watching over your word daily to perform it. And Father, as this man of God breaks the bread of life this morning, we ask that you open up our ears and our understanding to clear word, to clarity. We bless you. We thank you in the name of our Savior, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Jesus, the Christ. Father, we thank you, Father, not only that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We thank you for having the power, the ability to remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, Father, whose power that no foe, no weapon can withstand. And Father, I come in the name of Yeshua to plead his blood on my life and on all those that belong to me, all those that you've given me steward over. I plead the blood on the portals of my mind, Father, over my body, Lord Father, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I plead the blood over our children, over our family, Lord Father. We believe that we are protected by the blood of the Lamb, which give us, Lord God, all those that are over us, give us opportunity and access, Father, to the Holy of Holies. And we're so grateful to have that opportunity, to have that access, Lord Father. And Lord, as the day opens, Father God, and this morning in worship, Father, we ask that you would meet us in the worship, Father. Meet us in the word, Father. Oh God, stretch forth your hands to perform signs and wonders. If somebody is listening to the word this morning, and just by hearing the word, touching the radio, touching the computer, whatever they listen to, the phone, Father God, that they will be healed. We speak healing blessings out over the airwaves this morning. We speak inspirational knowledge, Father. Maybe somebody's contemplating suicide, or some marriage is breaking up, or some child is wayward, or whatever the case may be, Father. But we intercede for them because you're a healer, you're a deliverer, and you're a blesser. And we cry out to them this morning. Father, we thank you, and we ask you to bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We're going to get the word of God from the man of God, our old Bishop Eugene Cooper. He's going to be coming to you, and we're going to release him right now so that he can be used by the Father. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for everybody that's listening in, everybody that's tuned in. I thank God, praise God, amen, just for another day. I thank God for God being God. I often say to God, don't never bless us no more. We still can tell God, thank you. We thanking God this morning, praise God, amen, for his word, praise God. Everything going down but the word of God. And God watch over his word daily to perform it. Praise God, amen. I can't thank God enough for where God have brought us all from. Not only just me, but all of this morning, praise God, amen. We rose this morning, not in our own power, amen, but it was God himself that even us to wake up this morning. Somebody didn't wake up this morning, but I'm coming to you, praise God, amen. I'm going to be talking to you about prayer this morning. Praise God, prayer is the most effective, the most powerful weapon that we have right now. All we got to do is pray. The Bible says that you have not because you ask not. So we got to go to the Father in prayer. Praise God. Amen. We want to be consistent in our prayer. Amen. I know we're busy. We got everything that needs to be done, sometimes more than others. Praise God. Amen. But the main number one thing that we got to be concerned about is our connection with the Father and how God is just going to come in. Praise God. Amen. And bless each and every one of us. Praise God, amen. God is going to do his job, praise God, amen. But it's up to us, praise God, amen, that we open up our mouths, amen, and begin to do what we're supposed to do, amen. We have communication about everything else, praise God. But what about have a communication of praise, praise God, every day? Not just some days, amen, but every day. Talking to the Father that your day will be pleasant, that your day will go good, that the enemy would not come in and take control. We just have to just wake up and understand that we have a God that sit high and look low, and his eyes move to and forth the earth to show himself strong unto them that love him. And praise God, amen, I believe we all can identify with somebody that loves somebody. So now we got to understand that it's not all about the outward appearance, amen, but God look at the heart of man. And whatever in the heart, the Bible says, is going to come out. So if we pray, amen, and ask God to do certain things, God is going to do his part. So this morning we're going to talk about that, amen, but you have to do your part, and this is some of the things that we have to do. And I'm going to lie to the Apostle Cooper, going to read for his God, amen, and we're going to go through and and we're going to identify a few things, amen, that's going to help us to become stronger, help us to become to be the person and the heart that God said that we should have.
Amen. St. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And the scripture says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins, for as we forgive those who sin against us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. John disciples, now they saw something Jesus disciples began to tell Jesus to teach us to pray as John disciples. They saw something that I believe that they saw how John disciples were being blessed, and they always saw John disciples praying, and they discovered that it is something about it is power in prayer. And I'm going to tell you today that there is power in prayer.
Yes, yes.
Because the disciples had identified something, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, they didn't see back then, they didn't have automobiles and houses, and they didn't have the things that we have today, but I believe that they saw something that was different, that was a change in John's disciples. And because they always saw him praying, and I believe that they always saw that things were going pretty well with them, and the door was opening, and things were happening that out of the ordinary that wasn't happening. So Jesus' disciples began to say, "Lord, teach us to pray." As John taught his disciples to pray, and Jesus told them to say, "Our Father." When we come, we got to reverence our Father. We need to just reverence him for a few minutes, and we just give him praise because we're saying, "Our Father." We're calling him our Father. He is our Father, and he is our God. But we come this morning, praise God, amen, to tell you about that. So we reverence the Father as him being our Father. We just give him praise and give him thanks for that he have already done, because he have already blessed you from yesterday to today, amen. And one thing about God is already in tomorrow. He was already here before we even rose this morning, praise
right.
God, amen.
Yeah.
So he is worthy of the praises, not because of who we are, glory to God, amen, but because he is God. And if it had not been for him, who was on our side, we yet would still be lost. But look at God. God gave us his only begotten Son, that now we have the right. We didn't have that right some time ago. The priest used to go and pray to God, and sometimes the priest wouldn't be walking up right, and he didn't make the sacrifice right. And they only had sacrifice once a year, and the priest went and he made the sacrifice for your sins. Glory to God, amen. And if you didn't make it in there, if you didn't make it there within that year and you died in your sins. But look at God. God come with a new way, another way that we would have the right to the tree of life. So now he's given us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we got an open door that we don't have to go to nobody else. We don't have to wonder, "Well, I wanted the preacher home. I wanted the pastor home." But this is something that we can pray for ourselves.
Yeah.
Get on your knees, saint. Things are changing, and I believe that if you got eyes that you can see, ears that you can hear, glory to God, amen. If not, amen, we can take it, amen. You can look around and see that this is something that you can do for yourself, your own self.
Yeah.
God made it a personal thing between you and him. You don't have to worry about the media in between. And Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, standing in the depth for each and every one of us. We know we're walking up right. We know a lot of things we haven't done that we should have done. We didn't do it, amen. We're living in this flesh. So, you know, flesh is subject to do this. But the Bible says, "Well, a man try to do good, but evil is always forever." So we know flesh can always rise up. We lived in our flesh for so many years, and a lot of things we got to die to this old flesh and begin to live by the Spirit.
Amen.
But glory to God, amen. That's another message in the chapter, amen. But I just come to let you know we have to reverence our God. Give him praise, amen.
Yeah.
You just can't just bust in, and I want you to do something. So we just, because you know how we do sometimes, amen. And things get a little rough. Don't let things get a little tight, then we just start just coming off in a way that we ought not to come. And I come to tell you, amen, we got it. The Bible says that we have to come in the way that we should come, even as a child of God. So now we come to give God praises, and we tell God, thank you, amen. Grab a chair for a little while, amen. And watch God begin to move for you, amen. And we give him praises, praise God. But this is what we want to do before we even start off in our prayer, our Father. And then we understand who are in heaven, praise God, amen. We know that the Father lives above, amen, but he's not too far from us that he can reach down and bless us, that he can reach down and touch us. We're talking about a God, praise God, he's everywhere. You can't go nowhere, God is not there. Praise God, amen. But he working for our good, praise God. So ain't the one thing to do, pray. We're going to fall down, we're going to fall down on our knees and pray. We're going to give God the glory. We're going to give him praises. Amen. Glory to God, amen. We say, our Father, who art in heaven, glory to God. Hallowed be thy name. Now, the Bible says that thy kingdom come. Amen. So we got to understand the kingdom is in us. So now, if the kingdom is in us, then that means we got everything that we need. The Bible says that God have already purchased all everything. All we got to do is just, we got to believe it. God dealt every man a measure of faith.
Yes,
so if God dealt every man a measure of faith, use a little faith, because the Bible says you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed. You can speak to the mountains, and the mountains shall be moved. Glory to God. We all got some mountains in our lives, amen. Some mountains are bigger than others. Praise God, amen. But it's not that they can't be moved, because God said that he's given us a measure of faith. So you got to act on your faith, even though you're looking at those things that you see not, just as they were. That's the faith that we have to have. And as long as we have it, so who are you in heaven? And hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Glory to God, amen. We're talking about the will of God, amen. We're going to allow God's will to be done in our lives, not take control of things upon our own self. Glory to God, amen. Try to do it our way, amen. But we say, thy will be done. If it's going to be God's will, then God ain't going to act on nothing but his word. So we got to find out what his word. When you pray, you got to pray God's word. All that other stuff is just vain. I mean, all that other stuff is just a whole lot of talk doing nothing, praise God, amen. But you got to bring God back into remembrance of his word. One thing about God, God said he watch over his word daily to perform it. And we all is in need of something, whether you see it or whether you feel it or whether you understand it. Glory to God, amen. That is what it is. Glory to God, amen. So we got to go with that. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive
everyone. Now listen, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, God said he would supply all of our needs. Now, that don't mean it don't matter. Now, God already knows. He knows all of our needs. You know, God knows our thoughts are far off. So we have to understand this day. Everybody, God deal with everybody where they are. And we are not all on the same page. So we don't need to say that we're all just alike. We're people. Men are men, and women are women, but we're just not in the place where we should be. If that was the case, then Jesus came for nothing. But because Jesus came, then that must be wrong, something that's not right. But the scripture says, give us day by day our daily bread. In other words, what God is saying, you live this day, holy, this day was your last day. Tomorrow is not promised to you, because tomorrow takes thought for itself. So God going to give you what you need for today. The Bible says that he said he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Now God is going to give you your needs. And God is not going to give you nothing that's going to draw you away from him. God is not going to give you nothing that's going to cause you to rise up and forget about he even existed. Praise God, amen. You're going to run along, amen. God going to give you that you can handle. So we don't need to look at next door and say, well, look at so-and-so over there. How come I don't got it? You might have can't handle what so-and-so have. Whoever it is. So we don't want to need to be looking at what we're doing now. We say you'll give us day by day our daily bread. Go here.
Verse 4, And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us.
Now you say you forgive us of our sins and everyone that's indebted to us. Glory to God, amen. But we know about the forgiving of the sin, amen. And too many times it all depends on what the situation is or what happened, amen. And yeah, you people always say, I never forgive you. But then they'll say, I forgive you, but then every time you look around, they bring them back up the same thing. So if they bring them back up, that means they never forgive you of the sin. Then, but you got to understand, if you don't forgive your brother or your sin or whoever it was that done something against you, if you don't forgive them, then God won't forgive you. So you got to understand that you got the first forgiving meaning in your heart, not you making mouth say anything. I hear people saying all kind of stuff in their mouth, glory to God, and they don't mean nothing, but God is looking at the heart. So glory to God, if you're going to repent means to turn all the way around from that way, and then cut that thing out and have no part with it no more. That you got to make up in your own mind. Nobody can do that for you.
Hallelujah.
That's something that you got to do for your own self. We fail too many times. Listen to what I say. I say we fail too many times because we fail to do it for ourselves, but we want everybody else to do it. We want everybody else to forgive, but we figure we can do it a different way. But yeah, I forgive you, but I tell you, I never forgive. Well, then you ain't gonna never forgive, but you're gonna have it that way. And then God ain't gonna never forgive you now. All of your blessings are hindered. All the doors that you want to go through, the jobs and all of your finances and your children, your job, everything's going to be falling down around you because of the one thing that you don't want to do. One sin is sin. It ain't no such thing as a big sin and a little sin. People always say that, you know, that's a mighty big sin. I mean, no such thing. Sin is sin,
yeah,
in the knowledge of God. So now what we want to do, we want to get rid of that thing. We want to say, I forgive you, amen, and mean it, and go ahead on and give it to God and let God handle it. If God can handle it, then it can't be done. Glory to God, amen. That's the God that we serve, amen. He forgive us and give everyone that's indebted unto us. Glory to God, amen. Even you know how it is, let a person hold your car. You might have lent them an extra amount of dollars. You might have lent them your suit, amen. Whatever it is, amen. But they didn't return it, and they didn't come back. It's like everybody that's indebted to you, amen. We gotta forgive them of that debt, amen. Write it off. I mean, forget about it. Just keep it moving. Go ahead on. Don't let that stop you from being who you're supposed to be in your heart in the face of the Almighty. That's who we got to want. Don't worry about man on earth, but this is the thing that God said that you gotta do. You got to forgive everyone that's indebted to you. Everyone, you gotta forgive us of our sins. So in order for that to happen, you're gonna have to forgive and let it go. You can't change the thing. If that was the case, if you could fix it, I'll say it again. If that was the case, then Jesus came for nothing, but Jesus came because he laid down all of that stuff on the cross. So now all you got to do is walk the way God said that you got to walk. But if you want your prayers to be answered, these are the things that got to happen within you on the inside. God looking at the heart of man. He ain't looking at how good you look on the outside. He ain't looking at how you walk, how you talk. Amen. All of the intellect and all of the knowledge that you have, God not looking at that. God is looking at where your heart is. And the Bible always says where your heart is, that's where everything else is too. Glory to God. Amen. You ain't going to be able to get around that. Go ahead.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
He said, lead us not into temptation. Glory to God. Amen. We got to watch out that temptation. I tell you, that thing is, it's big in the land. If it wasn't for temptation, you wouldn't have all the fights and it wouldn't have all the lying and you wouldn't have all of the killing. You wouldn't have all of that stuff that's going on. But glory to God, because of that, glory to God, amen. It is happening, glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. So now that means that's where we come in at. That's the thing that we got to watch out. Temptation is glory to God. Amen. You just got to know how to draw back. But in order to draw back, in order for that to happen, you got to have something lying on the inside. You can't do this on your own. This is a journey. Church, I come to tell you today, you cannot walk this journey out of your own intellect, out of your own flesh. You cannot walk this journey. You can talk that talk all you want to. But if you don't have nothing stronger than yourself down on the inside, then you're going to do whatever flesh say do. Glory to God. You got to understand, amen, the Bible said there's a war going on in your flesh between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh said, look good, feel good, sound good, amen, it is good, amen. But then the spirit telling you that you need to keep it moving, you need to keep on going. But you don't want to hear it like that, because the one thing about this life, when you come over on the Lord's side, everything that you wanted over on that other side, the devil is working on the working, trying to get you to that stuff that you wanted on the other side. Now, you see more of that stuff on this side. Now, when you was on the other side, you couldn't see it. Now, it's all in front of your face, all around. Everywhere you go, it's right there in front of your face. So now, you're going to be tempted. So now, you got to have what you need. I know that's easy to say, but you got to have something down on the inside to sustain you from that. And you can turn and go right on your way, even though you want it all. Man, it's... Ooh, look like your mouth be, look like you have a tail, like your mouth be running water almost. But glory to God, you just got to keep it moving. You got to turn to keep it going, because that one thing could cause you 5, 10 years down the road. It could cause you 20 years down the road. I come to tell you, you could get involved in something, amen, and if it don't come through you, it's going to happen. Somebody's going to pay. And I often say that. Somebody's going to pay it, because it's going to go down through the generation. Amen. And the Bible said that God will cause that thing to go down through 7 generations. Each generation is 14 years. So we have to be careful about that. We wonder why things are happening like they're happening. Amen. We were put in for one purpose. That's to serve God. That was the purpose that we were put in for. But we done got involved in so much, and we done got so far over and so much gone, and amen, all the technology we got, and amen, we got the cars, we got the highway, we just got so much stuff going on till we are missing God in a lot of ways. So you gotta just stop. That's why the Bible said that you got to watch as well as pray. Because the enemy is out there. He's there. Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So we got to wake up to this thing, church, and understand that there's a real war going on. This war is real, but it's spiritual. But in order for you to win, you got to have something down on the inside to sustain you, to cause you to walk around, which is called the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. I often say, if you're going to do anything, you got to have all the tools you need to work with when you're on the Lord's side. That's just like if you're going to work on your car, you got to have the right tools to fix it with. If you don't have the right tools, you'll never fix it. Wow. You'll never cut your grass if you don't have a lawnmower. You'll never be able to wash your clothes if you don't have no water. Glory to God. Amen. So this is how it works. So we got to wake up to the reality, amen. We're not green to this thing. Our eyes are not clear. We're not blind to this thing. So we pray, well, once we got saved, that was the eye-opener. Now we are I was blind, but we say, now that I see. But the way some people declare and acting, they still blind and still can't see. But that's because of their own, they let feeling got in the way, flesh them kicked in, and they use this old thing about everybody doing something. Yeah, but everybody that's doing what they're doing, they're going to hell in the lodge itself without measure. So glory to God, amen. It ain't really going to be all of them. All y'all will go together. Glory to God, amen. But this is a journey that you got to work. This is something that you got to do for your own self.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, it will not happen. Glory to God, amen. Go ahead, preacher.
Luke 11:5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as
glory to God.
As he need it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, there's a friend. I mean, we all got some friends. Glory to God, amen. We'll give them our right hand, some of our friends. We love them so, praise God, amen. But in this situation here, in the Bible days, the way they laid down, when night come, they all laid down in a line, and the way they did it, the children was always in front of the parents. One was next to the other one, and the mother and the daddy was behind all of the children. So now somebody come and knock on the door in the middle of the night. Now they got to wake up the whole house, because in order before the father could get to the door, this is the way the setup was back then during those days, which I believe that was a good policy. We can keep up with the children a little more now, even though things are a little more modernized now, but things are a little different now, but glory to God, amen. The children are all by themselves, getting out the window, whatever. We don't know what they're doing. This is at night. Glory to God, amen. They done went somewhere and came back and got back in the hive. You don't know. You open the room, flip, but the way they did it back in the day, the children flip in a row. And the father and the mother flip behind all the children. So now dad got a knock on the door saying, I have a friend, amen, lend me two loads, you need to borrow something. But he told them, I could not rise because trouble you not, because we're all are in the bed. Uh-huh. But the Bible says because of the opportunity, and
yeah.
The opportunity means it is an emergency, but because of an emergency,
yeah.
He will rise and give him what he needs. But glory to God, the Bible says that he rose and begin to give him as much as he needs. Glory to God. I tell you sometimes, man, it seems like a hard thing when somebody come to you in the middle of at midnight. I mean, 12 o'clock at night, telling you they had a need. And I can imagine, you know, you would probably say, what? But glory to God, amen. But because it's an emergency,
yeah.
Glory to God, you will rise. Amen. We don't know what the opportunity it might not be. It might not be that he needs three loads. He might need you to take him to the doctor. He might need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is, amen. But they say because it's an emergency,
yeah.
You will rise. Glory to God. Amen. That's just where your heart is. Amen. Where your mind will be also. But glory to God. Go ahead. Watch this.
Verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you."
Now listen, it's the ask. And it shall be given unto you. Now listen at God. God said, ask. And it shall be given unto you. You didn't say, you know, you didn't do so. We got to return a mercy for God. His goodness and mercy is everlasting. Go here.
Glory to God. Seek and ye shall find.
Now seek, now you have to seek the Lord. And you know that's been a big thing on earth, on all of the saints. Not only just saints, but I believe that everybody somewhere is praying and talking to God about something
yeah.
That's going on in their lives. Everybody got something. Everybody got some kind of problem. There's nobody that's living in this world that does not have a problem. If they say that, they're lying. But everybody going through something, and somewhere along the line, you're calling on the Almighty. Glory to God. Amen. So now, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to seek the Lord. You can walk along, and cry all day long, and you can still worry me. Well, I don't know why this happening now. We can go tell somebody else, and then soon you tell somebody else, they make the conversation even worse. They're going to tell you, well, this is what I would do if I was you. No, don't go with no if I was you. That can't be you. Find out what is it that the word of God has to say about this situation, because he is the one that can work it out. And if God don't work it out, it can't be worked. Glory to God. This is where we got to wake up at. This is where we got to set our eyes in there. This is where we got to set this thing in your heart so it can dwell in there, so we can have a wake-up call when things happen. I'm going to go to my father. He said, God said, he is our father. We are his children. So if it's something that you really need, what you do when you were a child? You went to your father. Ask your father. Your mama came to go and ask your daddy. Do what he'd say. Glory to God. Amen. They would come and ask the father. So now you ask the father.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. This is God already got it already laid out. All we got to do is just follow instructions and That's where it's been with a lot of people. Go here. Watch
knock,
this.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
He said, knock and it shall be opened. Knock. In other words, we're already seeking the Lord, but knock. Keep on knocking. It's going to be open. The door is going to open up. Glory to God. Amen. But don't forget about your faith. Use what God. You got to use the tools that God has given you. Use every one of them. You don't think you need to use them, but use them. It's the only way. There ain't no other way. You won't be able to jump over nothing. You won't be able to go around. Even. You just got to use what
bless
you got. Hallelujah.
Verse 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Everyone that asketh, receiveth. You hear that? Everyone asketh, receiveth. Everyone asketh, receiveth. You don't walk around and just think it's just going to happen. It ain't going to just happen. It ain't going to just fall out the sky and say, well, because of who you are. It don't work like that. You got to open up your mouth. We open up our mouth for everything else. When you want to tell somebody else, or you want them to let them know whether you know how you feel about a thing, whatever it is that the conversation occur. You open up your mouth, and why not open up your mouth now? Go ahead.
And he that seeketh, findeth.
He that seeketh, findeth.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Well, if he shall knock, it shall be opened. Glory to God to talk about knocking. Amen. You just keep right on knocking. Keep right on knocking. The door is going to be open. Glory to God. Amen. We are working toward that. Amen. Just keep knocking, keep knocking. Don't give up. That's where our problem is right there. We give up too fast because it didn't happen in next second. It didn't happen tomorrow. Well, I guess there ain't no use. And we too quick to give up. We're too quick to think of the bad side. What about think about the good side for a change? Go ahead.
Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him stones?
He said, now listen to my with you. If he has bread, the son asks bread of you, would you give him a what?
Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent?
Would you give him a guy if you ask him for food? Would you give him a snake?
Or if he shall ask an egg, will you give him a scorpion?
If you give him a scorpion. Glory to God. Go ahead.
Verse 13. If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask.
Listen, God said, now, if you know how to, you being evil, listen to what God said. God said, this is the word of God. God said, you being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, he said, now, how much more shall you give them to ask them for the Holy Ghost? But I come to you today, saying, prayer is the most effective weapon that we have in this society and in this world today. But I come to you today, and all we got to do is just cry out and start not. Glory to God. Fall down on your knees and just begin to pray and tell God about it. God is the only way. God has got all power that's in his hands. And he didn't put us here where we could be overtaken by the enemy. He didn't put us here where we could fall down and say, woe to me. The Bible says all we got to do is look to the hills. We come and thy help, knowing that thy help coming from the Lord, and the Bible says that he shall care for you, shall bring you out. But I come to tell you today, we got a God that sit high and look low, and all I want to do is just call on the Father. And one thing I can say about the Father, he's still gonna be God. And I heard him say that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. But I come to tell you today, church, that all you gotta do is just get what you need from the Father, because I heard him that I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And God will supply all of your needs. He'll give you what you want, but he's going to supply all of your needs. And glory to God, and that's a good thing. And I come to tell you today that this is a wake-up call. I don't care what's going on all around you, even though all here I might be the broke loose in your life, but I come to tell you, all you got to do is get saved and just begin to tell God about it and watch God in the move. God got ways of moving. Even now you're laying down sleeping at night. You're keeping the enemy from coming in and destroying and taking your mind, taking keep your faith from coming in and taking you out. But I come to tell you today, but before you fall down on your knees and pray long enough, and all you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hands. But if God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. God said, I'll be with you until the end of the world. So we got to understand, if God be for you, who can you against you, huh? So all we got to do is stand, huh? And hold on to what you got, huh? There used to be a whole time in the world, huh? You used to say, hold on to what you got, huh? But since you're on the Lord's side, huh? You know more about that on this side than the world on the other side, huh? But you just said, huh, God, huh? God'll never leave you. He'll never fail you, huh? And all we got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hands, huh? But I come to tell you, huh? If you got, we got to do is keep on teaching the Lord, huh?
Yeah.
Keep on praying, huh? Keep on telling God about the situation. Lay yourself before God. Take time out every morning and begin to pray and tell God about the situation. You can take 15 minutes. You can take 5 minutes.
Yes,
you can take whatever that you can find. But rise up. You rise up a certain time in the morning to go to work. So you ought to rise up and be concerned about your soul. You ought to rise up and be concerned about yourself. You ought to be concerned about family, but I come to tell you today that all we got to do is pray and pray every day. Don't let a day go by that you're praying and telling God about it, because see, God already knows. God knows your thoughts afar off. God already knows what your day going to be about. So I come to tell you today, all we got to do is come to pray and have that communication time with God. But I come to tell you that everybody, keep your prayer life going. Wake up and pray and tell God about it. But I come to tell you today, ask and you shall receive. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to pray for you today, Saint. I'm going to pray that everybody be blessed.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I will pray that everybody be blessed today and everybody will bless from this word today in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you right now, Father. And oh God, we're giving you praise, God. We just want to just tell you, thank you, Lord. Oh God, it's just another day, Father. Even though all the corruption and all this vile thing that's running around, oh Lord God, we thank you, Father. That you are allowed to come to us, Father, and take us out this day, Father. Oh, God, how you just loved us, Father. Oh, God, we can't praise enough, Father. How we just looked up over those hills, God. Oh, God, how you protect us, Father, covering, Father. How you just covered us under the blood, Father. We know nothing can go beyond that, go beyond the blood measure that Jesus has shed for us.
Yeah.
No, Father, we give you praise. Today, God, we ask you to help those, Father, that don't know you today, Father. Oh, God, we ask for the prison, the hospital this day, Father, all around, Father. Oh, God, throughout the universe this day, Father, and all that's in high places today, God. Father, we ask you, Father, to just have your way, Father, even now to the little children. Oh, God, let's look on the school, Father, where all of the children are today, Father. Just begin to bless the pastor today, Father. All of the members, Father, that are in the churches all out of the land, Father. Those within our churches, Father. Those that have lost their loved ones. And, oh, God, we just say, Father, and everything, Father. Let them have that joy today, Father, down in their soul, God. Oh, God, we ask for a special touch, Father, special anointing, Father. Oh, God, to just fall down on the universe this day, Father. Oh, God, that you have the power, Father. You can turn this earth, Father. You're the creator. You're the maker of all things, Father. Without you, Father, there will be nothing that is, God. But, God, we're standing, Father, because we know,
hallelujah,
God, there's nothing going on except you be in charge. And, Father, we give you praise and glory. And we just want to tell you, thank you, just for another day. In Jesus' name, we pray. I hope this message was a blessing. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope somebody got something out of it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank God for worshiping that word, prayer. Amen. You men ought to always pray, the Bible says. There are a lot of things that we try to deal with outside of prayer. We try to move the hand of God outside of prayer. But I'm here to tell you, just like Bishop said, you can't do anything outside of prayer. You have to pray to the Father. The disciples were smart. They walked with Jesus. And they saw how he prayed. He had direct communication with God. He would go off and pray and have his prayer meetings with the Father, which was a prime example for them. And that's why they told him, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. Now you need to teach us how to pray, glory to God. And he taught them how to pray. When you're praying, you got to first reverence God. Sometimes we get down and pray and we start begging, Father, do this for me and give me that. And my children need this. My husband and wife need that. But how about worship? Worship is a strong force of prayer. Sometimes you don't even need to say nothing because Jesus already said that our Father in heaven knows what we have need of. So sometimes you don't even have to ask. But when you begin to worship him and to sing songs to his glory and just begin to worship him, that's the strongest prayer you can give. I promise you that mountains will start moving. Every hindrance that comes against you will start falling away. Why? Because here God is moving by his power. You got to let prayer jump in. Like Bishop was saying, prayer is the key. Glory to God. And when we begin in prayer to acknowledge God and stop begging, people treat God as if he's a sugar daddy. Oh, I need this. I need that. Buy me this. Give me that. And where's your word? Where is your reverence to him? He said that we're to reverence him, and we don't reverence him. We always want stuff from him. And if he don't give it, then we go somewhere else. We give up on him because he don't give it. I'm so glad to know that we have a father that knows best for us, because if he keeps something from us, it has to be something that would destroy us. And my prayer is always, Father, don't let me get a hold of something that would turn me away from you. How good it looks. I don't care how expensive it is. I don't care how much money it brings. If it's going to turn me away from you, I don't want it. And if the Father says no to it, it ain't because he's being mean, because he put everything on this earth here for us to enjoy. But it's because he knows that it'll be detrimental to you. Why? Because he's already in the future. He's in tomorrow. We got to get to tomorrow. We got to wait till the sun go down and rise again for tomorrow to happen for us. But God is already there. The Bible says he's here, he's there, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's in everything. There's no time or distance in God. We live by time because we have an appointed time here on earth. But there's no time in God. And if God say no to something, it's not to be a mean daddy. But just like you would not give your children anything that would harm them, our Father would not give us anything that would harm us. And I'm so glad for the word this morning teaching us how to pray. Like I said, you don't always have to say something. Sometimes we need to sit alone and just meditate. Just let the Lord speak to our spirit, speak to us. Let him minister to us, because we need to hear from him. You get down on your knees. I've seen people get down on their knees and pray, and they'll tell me, Pastor, you know what? I asked the Lord for this, and he told me to go ahead and get it. And I don't feel that. I don't feel that connection. And I'm like, okay, maybe you need to pray again, you know, just wait on the Lord. No, he told me to go ahead and do it. And then they run out there and do it, and it don't work out. But then they say, well, the Lord, it didn't happen well, because whenever God give you something, he tell you to do something, believe you me, he can back up. He is the backup. He'll make sure it happened. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. And sometimes when you got your mind already made up what you want, and you go down and pray, and then you're saying, the Lord say yes, and he didn't say nothing, because he can't speak to you in your own mind. Sometimes he won't answer you till you don't even have your mind on it. You could be doing something else. Your mind will be just totally away from that. And all of a sudden, the Spirit will speak in your spirit and tell you what to do and how to do it. And he'll give you the answer. Or it just won't happen. And no sense getting mad at him, because he is the Father. And he loves us. And he's only going to give us the bed. When I read the scripture, Bishop was preaching about your Heavenly Father knows how to give you good gifts. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Just like we give good gifts to our children, he gives us the Holy Spirit, which is the best gift of all. And if you got the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you through the mind of God, and he will not allow you to stray. But thank God, I mean, he has given us a free will. If you just override the Holy Spirit and do what you want to do, that's on you. It's not on God. You did not follow the Spirit. And you know when the Spirit is telling you don't do something, but you'll do it anyway. And now you're going to blame God. It ain't on God. It's on you, because you did not obey the Spirit. We can't have everything. Some things that people have, they're so wretched with it. You think, oh, they got this and they got money, they got this and that and other, but they are so wretched. You don't know their secret life. And you, if you did, you'd be so glad that you don't have what they have. Prayer is the key to everything. Faith, but it takes faith to unlock the door. When the Bible says, if we pray, we got to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek us. We have so great a cloud of witness. The Apostle Paul gave us great witnesses in the book of Hebrews. We went all through the New Testament believers, and not believing for things, but they were believing that God is. You got to have a mind to know that he is, no matter what's going on around you. And sometimes things are not always at peace. And it may not go the way you want to, but God is still in charge. He's still in control. We got to release ourselves to understand that. There's nothing going to happen to me today that me and the Lord can't deal with together. God already has a plan for our lives, and our lives are already set in stone. But we can just deviate from his plan and do, you know, our own thing, and then things don't work out. Now we want to look back, cross-eyed at God, and blame him. But that's why the Holy Spirit is here. When Jesus was leaving his disciples, he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter because I see y'all can't make it by yourself. I'm paraphrasing it. Besides, y'all can't do this by yourself, so I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave a comforter. I'm going, but I'm going to leave a comforter here so that you will have the comforter on the inside, and he will teach you. He will bring you into remembrance of right and wrong, and the Holy Spirit tells us what's right and wrong. I always say, people say, well, I don't believe there's a God. Well, you will never get anything from him because it takes faith in him to believe you get anything from him. But I always say, God, every human being has, if it ain't but an ounce of faith, they believe there is a God. Their selfish ways will not allow them to accept it, but they believe it because guess what? We have a part of him on the breath that we breathe. The life that we live, it belongs to God. He said, all souls are mine. Every soul belongs to him. You give your soul to the devil, that's you burning in hell in eternity. You give it to the Father, it's his anyway. But he's a permissive, he allows us in his permissive will. He don't force us. Nobody wants to force people. A God that loves his people, that created us and created us in his image, gave us this beautiful earth to enjoy. Now, granted, some greedy people have taken over more than they should and are not sharing, but that's between them and the Father. I promise you, they will have to answer for that. Amen. But you stay in your lane. You enjoy what the Lord has blessed you with, and I promise you that there will be miserable times. Even when you don't have, even when you're in lack, you'll rejoice. Like the Apostle Paul said, I've been exalted. In other words, I've been wealthy, and I've been abased. I've been poor, and I have learned how to be content in whatever state I'm in because I know that the Lord is going to deliver. The Lord will provide. If I don't have anything, food will come. If you have to use somebody else, I've seen God just use people in my own life to bring stuff to me without me even asking. Why? Because we're trusting in him. You have to trust. Just praying and not believing that God is, that he is the God of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all things and mankind. You don't trust and you don't believe that Jesus Christ is our Yeshua HaMashiach. We call him Jesus, Yeshua. You don't believe that he is the Son of the living God. Then you have no hope. Then all your prayers are in vain. You first have to believe in God and know who he is. And the only way you're going to know him is in the word. You have to read the Bible, learn of him. Then you can believe. When I first got in the Lord so many years ago, the first thing I did, I was used to be just a churchgoer. And then I just started seeking. I said, I just want to know the Father. I want to know this God that they're telling me to serve. And I pick up my Bible and read it. And, of course, I didn't understand everything at the beginning, but I kept reading it anyway. Something was going to have to jump out at me. Then I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and after that, the word started jumping out, and the Lord started giving me interpretations in Scripture, and I just was reading it. It's like eating candy to me because everything was sweet. You know, it may not taste good when you first eat it, and you can see yourself in, and that's what the Bible is. It's like a mirror. You can see yourself and say, oh, okay, that's me, so I need to back off of that. I need to make some changes in that area. And now a lot of people don't read the word because they do see themselves in it. And they do see that, okay, this is me. I need to make this change. So I'm going to do it. And a lot of folks don't pray because when they pray, they really are afraid of what might happen. But that's your relationship with God. That's your one-on-one, your time to have fellowship with him, your time to spend with the Father so you can get to know him, study his word and pray and then wait and meditate and let him speak to you and talk to you while you're working or whatever, even while you're sitting there in your prayer room listening. Allow him that opportunity to speak back. Sometimes we get out and say, Daddy, blah, 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 we're done. Now we get up, amen. And he has something to say, but he can't say it to you because you're on the go. You're praying and you're running and you're on the go. So prayer is the key. And just like Bishop said this morning, men ought to always pray. And he's not just talking about men, but women as well, the wolf out of the man. We need to always pray. And praying women are powerful. I'm telling you, when you get a woman that believes and trusts the Father, and she pray, I tell people all the time, the young men or women, you tell them your mom praying for you, you might as well get saved, because if you don't, you're going to have to go through something. I tell husbands that, wife, the honey, your husband praying for you, your wife is praying for you, and God is listening. You bet, if I were you, I would just come on in. You don't want to go through what you got to go through to get there. Because sometimes people are so stubborn and stout-hearted, and the woman is praying and praying, Lord, save my husband. And she's not praying in the ill will on him, but she wants him saved. She wants him delivered. She wants him on fire for the Lord. And he's stubborn and stout-hearted. I ain't coming. I ain't going. I'm not going. I don't want to go to no church. And the Lord is listening to this devoted wife praying for him. And he sees that this man is on his way to death and destruction. So he's going to pull back his hand, his protective covering that he had around him. This is like Job and Satan. He's going to drop the hedge from around that man and allow the enemy to do whatever it takes to get him in there. Not going to destroy him, but he's going to get him saved. I'm telling you, Bishop can witness to that. He used to always say, well, I'm going to be doing this and that till I get 70 years old. And I would just look at him and I would just say, you coming. And keep right on going. And every preacher I met just about him, I had my pastor praying, and our prayer band leader was praying, all the saints was praying, pray for my husband. My desire was for him to be saved. Because I know he was out there in that world, nothing was good out there for him but destruction. And I wanted my husband in the church, serving the Father with me, so I could be by his side, serving the Lord. So I fasted and prayed and asked everybody, I shake hands, pray for my husband. That was my word. And people would pray. You got people praying for you. If people are praying for you, God is going to do exactly what they ask him to do. But don't fight against the will of the Father, because God's will is going to be done no matter what. You'll hit some bumps in the road. You'll get caught up on some bow down in some valleys, stuff, until you just say, here I am, Lord, I surrender, glory to God. The one thing, the good thing about it, you'll go through, but he'll be with you in the midst of it until you just give in and say, because he already knows, he sees the future. He already sees the day. You're going to say, yes, Lord, I surrender. He already sees that. So he's going to work with you until you do. And when you do surrender, he's going to receive you into himself. He's not a forceful God, but he does what's right for us. Our children coming up, and when you were children, I'm sure most of you, when your parents told you what to do, you didn't like it, especially with teenagers. I said, Lord, I will never want to raise another teenager. Boy, them teenage years were horrible. Now I know what my mom went through with me by raising my own teenagers. But when you're a teenager, you think you know everything. You think you got it all. Your parents old, they ain't hip, they're not cool, they don't know what's going on, they don't know the new fads and all this kind of stuff. So they don't know nothing. I don't understand how we can have that kind of mind. When I think I was 20 years old, I went to my mom and I apologized to her, because a lot of stuff she said to me happened. If I had listened, it wouldn't have happened. And you got to understand that if you 50, I'm 70, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm older than you. So it doesn't matter. That means I've lived that many years, 20 years more than you have. So I know more than you. My mom knew more than me because she was years ahead of me. So, but as a teenager, I thought I knew it all. And she taught us how to pray. Prayer was, you didn't get into bed at night before you prayed. That was the thing in our family. You had to pray. Everybody had to learn how to say their prayers at night. And we said our prayers. I had an aunt my mom's aunt, my great aunt, go to her house. And man, we'd be on our knees so long, I might think I'd fall asleep a couple of times down there. And I'd be like, oh, Lord, I think, boy, she prayed. Didn't understand it because you're so young, but I'm so glad for the prayer. My grandma, oh my goodness, I spent a lot of summers with her, and we were always on our knees in the bed. I had my bed, and she had her bed. We had her bedroom, twin bed, and man, my knees would be just tired, just done. Sometimes I'd fall asleep praying there, but all those prayers was to save us from death, hell, and destruction, because the world don't like us. The world is not, it doesn't care about us. It trying to make you, if you just look at the things that are so pleasing out there, it feels good, it tastes good, it looks good, but in the end, it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your soul. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit to give you that spiritual insight so you can say, okay, even though it tastes good, even though it looks good, you know, he's fine, she's fine, whatever. That's my destruction. I'm going to leave them alone. Right. So we thank God for that second sight. that he gave us, because if Jesus had not left the Spirit back here for us, we would not be able to live a life close to the Father.
Right.
He was our propitiation. He was the one that paid the price. He was the one that took on our sins upon himself so that we would be able to stand before the Father. And if we don't be grateful for nothing else, we need to be grateful for that. Grateful for a God that said, you know what? I done searched high and low. Study your Bible. I done searched everywhere. And
amen,
I can't
amen.
Find a man or a woman worthy enough to take on the sacrifices, as a sacrifice, the sins of these people so that I can save them, because they are sinful, wretched people. And he said, you know what? I'm going to prepare myself a body, and I will go down and redeem man to myself. God himself prepared himself a body in the form of his son, Christ, so that he could come down and redeem. That's love. Who would love somebody so much? And when Jesus got to the garden and he began to pray and he looked in the future in the cup and he saw what was about to happen to him, he said, this is why I came. But then he saw the devastation and he like, Father, take this cup from me. But in the same breath, he said, but nevertheless, let your will be done. Because he saw the destruction that was about to come on him. And I'm sure he saw us in there with our wretched self, like, oh, guys, these people ain't going to even be worth it. But, you know, I'm going to do it anyway, because that's what I came for. We're here to serve the Father. We're here to worship him, to be his children, not to lend our members over to be used by the devil, to let him use us and have a party with us and rub us through the mud. But our members, and when I say members, I'm talking about the parts of your body, eyes, nose, ears, hands, feet, everything. Your whole body belongs to the Father. He created us for his purpose. And we have to understand that in order to have a relationship with him, and don't get me wrong, now he knows Jesus came for our sins to be an excuse or a propitiation or a payment for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
So the Father knows that we're sinful because it's flesh. But all he wants is our heart to want to make that change. And he'll make a way for that change to be made if he looks into your heart. Because
amen.
God does not listen to our words. He don't care how where you live and all that kind of stuff, what church you go to. He's looking at what's in your heart. And if your heart is not fixed right, then he knows that you're still a sinful person. I don't care how nice you try to be. If you got evil in your heart, you being nice to me, and all under your breath you're saying, I hate her, I can't stand her. That's not a good deed, and God don't see that as a good deed, because he's not looking at you giving me this item to be nice to me. He's looking straight into your heart, and he sees the evil and the blackness and the hatred in your heart for me. And he's saying, she needs to repent. If she don't repent, like he told it, Ephesus, if you don't repent and do your first work over again, you're going to hell. Bottom line. And so people
amen.
Say things today that
right.
ain't no hell and ain't no this. I ain't taking no chances. So, you know, I'm like this. It ain't going to hurt me to serve the Father. It ain't going to hurt me to believe, to keep myself from in hell, because I'm close to the end now. And so when it's time for me to go, I want to lift up my eyes where the Father is. I don't want to lift my eyes up in hell. So whatever it takes, and I'm enjoying myself on this journey. I am enjoying. I have enjoyed myself and still enjoy myself. It don't take nothing from you to be in tune with the Father, to serve the living God. It takes nothing from us. He's not robbing us of anything, because, like he said, he made the heavens and the earth for us. He told us to occupy, to be fruitful and replenish the earth and occupy till he comes. And if you're not using your full potential on this earth, if you're not doing your best on this earth, you're not really occupying. We got bombs that lay around and they don't do nothing, and they're not occupying. Well, that's not occupying. You get your job. He said, if a man don't work, you don't eat. We got women that won't work, that live off welfare. That's not occupying. That's not what he meant. All you're doing is sucking up air and taking up space. But when you, if you're not working or whatever the case may be, then stop having babies all the time and get yourself a husband. And if he's going to work and take care of you, that's fine. But if not, get your job and go to work. Do something. Be creative. Use that. If you're the best cook in the world, how about open up a restaurant or selling dinners from your house? Do something. I mean, with the talent and the gifts that the Father's given you, so you won't be lazy.
Yes,
prayer
yes.
will open up those kind of doors and let you see where your heart and your mind is with God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, when you begin to pray and you begin to seek the Father the way you should seek him, and you get a clear understanding of who God is, then you yourself will know, glory to God, that I've done it. I've given him everything. Now I can live my life. Now I can seek the Father. Now I can be, you know, I can be comfortable in yourself. When you know that you've done your best, you can be comfortable in yourself. But when you know you haven't done your best, how can you be comfortable in yourself? Some people are like, I say, they say in the world, workaholics. And they just want to work all the time, or perfectionists. Everything is perfected. Sometimes that's overboard, because the Bible says we're supposed to have at least one day of rest. That's our Sabbath day. Take care of these bodies so that the body can rejuvenate. God did. He built the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and he hollered it out as the Sabbath. A holy day of rest where you do no servile work. You don't work at all on that day. So that's that one day a week that we have to have that rest. That's our rest day, to take care of these bodies so that they can rejuvenate. But we don't. We steady going. If we're not working, we're at the swap shop, the mall, at a picnic, at something. It's the weekend. I'm living for the weekend. How about a rest day? Your body needs at least one day to rest, to heal itself, to refresh itself and replenish itself. Then when you pray to the Father, heal me, and he see that you're not eating stuff that you should not be eating because this is making your sickness worse, and he sees that you're not running yourself down to the ground, doing everything and going everywhere, you are getting that rest, then he'll heal you and know why. It's not like he's healing you just for that reason, but you got to understand this now. When we say, Father, we're praying, Father, heal me, and then we keep doing the same thing over and over, you negate your own healing. You cancel out your own healing. God didn't do that. He healed you from the first time, but you canceled it out by what you did. So we need to understand that, too. We have to stay in direct line with the Father, with our prayer, and the things that we want him to do for us. Once again, I just want to say God bless you for listening, those that are on the radio with us this morning. We bless you. We thank God for you. We know that he is an awesome God. Pray. I'm in the mornings, I get up early and I read my Bible and I do my morning devotions. I pray and I sing or whatever, glorify my Father. And I make my day. You need to have a time where maybe it's not in the morning, you don't have time, but at least say prayer before you leave your home. But they have a devotion time with God. Maybe it's at night when everybody's sleeping, or in the afternoon when you get home. Let that separation time be for you and the Father, because you're going to need it. The time is coming on this land, and I'm telling you now, that you're going to need that one-on-one with God. You're going to have a relationship with him, that when you're about to go left and disaster's coming, the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you and say, go right, and you'll turn and go right, and you will avoid the disaster that's coming to you. And let me tell you, I know that to be true, because God has done it for me so many times. So have an ear, like Bishop always says, you have to develop an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto you. And you do that by studying the Word of God and praying and spending fellowship time with the Father. At this time, Bishop is going to close us out. I thank you. And let me make this announcement. Here in Fort Lauderdale and Pompano, if you have children, Soul Academy, Friday's our last day of school, but Monday, this coming Monday, we do start our summer break food spot program, where we are giving food. We're serving breakfast and lunch to children, and we will deliver to the Fort Lauderdale area for those that are in Fort Lauderdale. If you don't want to drive by, we're asking the parents to drive by. And pick up, because we do have drive-by pickup. If not, we will deliver. So I need you to get, if you want to, go to soulacademy.info, www.soulacademy.info, or send me a text and let me know that you want to get involved, and I'll forward you the application, because I do need the names of the children and the ages that we're going to be feeding. And that's going to save you and your whoever you know. I want you to pass the word. It'll save them some money also, and some aggravation and time. You know that your child is eating. If you do pick up in the morning, breakfast start at 8:30. You can pick up breakfast and lunch, and they can heat up lunch later in the afternoon or have their sandwiches later, whichever meal is served that particular day. So we want you to be participating in our family, in our summer food break spot. And call the school at 954-532-5619. Is that it? 5691. 954-532-5691. Or get in touch with me, because we do want to serve as many children as we can. Again, we love you. God bless you and his bishop.
Praise the Lord. We thank God, amen, for the lesson this morning. We thank God for prayer. Prayer is power that's in prayer. I'm going to pray, praise God, amen, and we're going to. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father, for being able to come before you this day, God. We thank you, Father, for the request, Father, that have been put before us this morning. Lord God, we'd ask you, Father, to continue, Father, to touch each and every one, Father. We thank you for who you are this morning, how you have blessed us, Father. We know that you have brought us this far, God. We know that you haven't turned us loose. We worship you right now, and we give you praise and glory, and we give you thanks for each and every heart that's listening. And they will rise up, they will go further, they will open the doors and be blessing to one another and continuously in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
God bless you. We love you. Talk to everybody soon.
Amen.
Don't forget Wednesday night Bible study
you.
On Zoom Talk. Be blessed.
I'm not going to do it.